Welcome to God, Sex, and You, a daily discipleship podcast on healthy sexuality. Here's your host, Purity Pastor Dustin Daniels.
In Psalm 18:27, we read, "The Lord rescues the humble, but you humiliate the proud." Well, is that good news for you, or is that bad news today for you? Well, it's excellent news for the Lord to rescue us, isn't it? But he's telling us that he's only going to do that if we humble ourselves. His promise is based on a condition. He will certainly make things right, but he does it his way and not ours. And I've noticed over the years that God has two ways to handle sexual sin. Number one, humility, or number two, humiliation. When it comes to learning how to trust again, humbling ourselves is the only way this works. The reason that many of us don't do that is it's just because of our pride and our arrogance, isn't it? Well, fear is another massive factor in coming clean, because we tend to think that, well, you know what? I'm going to protect my family here. I'm going to keep this stuff from them. But at the end of the day, that's just being proud and trying to control that situation. And as we talked about a few days ago, a lot of times we don't have control. It's just this illusion of control. So we continue our conversation today with Alan and Polly Heller on their book, Learning How to Trust Again. In today's podcast, we'll discuss several things. Number one, just how big is your God? Can you trust him? Number two, what does it look like to listen to the Lord? And number three, we begin to learn the five R's to trust.
So one of the chapters' title is Trust or Consequences. And it's sort of a play on what I used to watch. Bob Barker used to have this show, Truth or Consequences. And he would give the contestant something they need to answer, a question or whatever. And then Beulah, this monkey, would blow this thing.
You're showing your age.
Yes.
This is, well, like in the 1950s.
Yes. Nobody watches that. So, yeah. So, at any rate, that's the way we look at God, that, you know, we do everything right, but he still blows that buzzer or whatever they call that thing, kazoo, and says, you didn't get it right, did you? And for many people, that's how they've grown up, looking at a God who is going to give them a stone instead of bread, is what Scripture says. But God wants, he loves his people. He only gives good gifts to those who love him. And even to those who don't love him, he gave his life so that they could see how much love the Father has for them, that he would give his son on a cross that he never wanted to go to. He said, "Not my will be done, but thy will be done." And frankly, that's what I think many of us who are trapped in addiction have to get used to saying, is, "Not my will, but thy will." And if my God is big enough, and if my trust, he says you just need faith the size of a mustard seed. So he's gonna, if you draw near to God, he says, "I will draw near to you." And what I love to see is when somebody sees an addiction starting to break as they have started to get into God's word, which helps their mind be renewed. And as they do things that are obedient, and as they take action, and all of a sudden they see, she did say she loved me. Oh my gosh, she hasn't said that in 10 years. To see God work supernaturally in situations like that, I wish I could share them, but I can't share them. I can share them with you generally right now.
Sure,
But I can't, you know, say to somebody, "Oh, Rod just, you know, he got set free from the, you know."
Yeah.
Because you have anonymity and confidentiality. But I wish I could put on display,
yeah,
the amazing miracles God does when we start realizing who God, the God of true grace, true love, is.
And how do we find who that God is, Alan? Because it's been my experience that a lot of people go, "Well, God's a God of love and da 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 da, But at the end of the day, the more that I talk to them, their version of God is simply a deified version of themselves.
Mm.
That's so true.
Isn't that true? And it's like, well, wait a second. How do you get to know this God that you're talking about, Alan?
Right. Well, I think a couple of things. One is through prayer, which is the unseen secret sauce in every counselor's toolbox. And the other thing is what I've seen is when I care like God cares for this person, when I accept them as they tell me all the gross stuff that they've done and don't react in a way that they think I'm going to react, as I model it, even in that little time in counseling, I see barriers broken. I see people's lives changed. And it really is not me. It's God working through me. And so I think they need to see it horizontally. But I also think we have to ask and challenge them. You need to seek God with all your heart, soul, and mind. You need to know that if you build your house upon the rock, rather than the sand, he will come through. So if we can help give them things for them to even, like a lot of times people's minds are so noisy, they cannot, if you just have them be quiet for 1 minute, they're just going, wow.
I can't take it
anymore. Yes. And I'm going, that's just a minute, man. Yeah. God wants to meet with you. Can you start meeting with him once a day, every day, and get consistent? I just find there are little things that those of us who have been Christians for a long time just take for granted, that most people, they're not working on it. And they think it shouldn't take work. And I'm going, I'm sorry. You have to seek him with all your heart. I mean, Paul said, I stretch toward the mark of the high calling of God. It's work.
You know, one of the things that we haven't mentioned is that Alan and I both come from Jewish families. And so growing up in a Jewish family and going to the synagogue every weekend and seeing those Torah scrolls taken out of the ark and being lovingly unwrapped, unrolled, nobody would dare touch that thing with their finger. They had a special silver stylus that they used to keep their place when they were reading through the Torah, and they would wrap them up in these velvet coverings and carry them around the synagogue so that people could reach out with their tallis or their prayer book and touch it and kiss it. And you know, there's this very high sense of
reverence
for the truth that's encased in those Torah scrolls. And one time as a probably high school girl, I was thinking about what was it that made me Jewish in the first place. And I kept going back and back and back in my mind. And I know I'm Jewish because Abraham was Jewish. And how do I know Abraham was Jewish? Well, it's in the Torah. And if we didn't have the Torah, we wouldn't know our history as Jews, because otherwise just calling out to God, we're yelling out into thin air. But God has given us these scrolls that contain his word that have been written down for thousands of years so that we know the truth of who he is. And it's right there from the very beginning where it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And you just kind of take it from there. And so I have a reverence for God and his word, and I know who God is because the Bible tells me who he is. And if I don't have that telling me who he is, then I might just sit and think, oh, there's meow, meow. Oh, I hear God in that cat. Yeah. Or, you know, I hear God in the bird singing, or, you know, and start to worship nature. Well, yeah, but that's a creation of God. That's not God himself. It's a reflection of God.
Yeah. And that's we have to have a standard of who God is. When we read God's word, we hear his voice. We can't go to Sedona and go into a vortex and just, you know, think that we're going to figure God out.
Mm. Yeah.
Because God has revealed himself to us through his word, right, and then through his son. Right. And now as we read his word and we pray, like you said, Alan, that's how this relationship continues to grow. Do you find that a lot of people think, well, you know, Jesus is the one that saved me. Mm. He chose me. He did all the work there. Now Jesus is the one that's going to fix me too.
Mm-hmm.
And I equate that to the story of, you know, when Jesus, or when the lady touched the hem of Jesus's robe, mm-hmm, and she was instantly healed. And a lot of men that I talk to go, well, I want that. I want Jesus to touch me, and I just want to be healed. I want to be fixed.
Mm.
But the reality is, that's not the way the Lord works today, is it?
I would say 90% of the people I deal with, it's a process. And, you know, again, one of the things we talk about are these five R's. Remembering, I need to remember who God is. And I find that in his word. And I need to let God be the one that that defines who he is, rather than our tendency is to be making God into our image, like you talked about before. Then to release, I need to release the negative and the bad things that I have done into his hands. There are sometimes where I need to sort of have an image in my mind of me taking my junk, walking it up and picturing the cross and saying, here, God, I give you this. I know it. I've been doing the wrong thing, and I need to picture it and give it to you and leave it there.
What happens when we don't release? And we keep it for ourselves.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's like a beach ball that's underneath the water that's trying to get out. I mean, you can keep repressing it, but usually then things happen to our bodies, our stomachs, our backs, our heads. We start, you know,
they grow bitter.
They start coming out in different ways.
Yeah.
Mm. So whether it's relationally bitter or whether it's physically, I start feeling symptoms of stuff. Because I was not designed to hold that stuff in. God didn't. He designed me to get it out. And I mean, I call it, sometimes you need to emotionally throw up. Not a fun word picture, but when you do throw up, emotionally or otherwise, you finally get the poison out of your stomach, out of your life, and then we can start working, you know, with real life.
Have you ever noticed that? When we emotionally throw up, as Alan says here, God now gives us the momentum to move forward and to deal with life. A world of no more fantasies, but the real reality of what's going on. And think of confession as a spiritual transaction. God takes your sins and then he gives you himself. That's quite the trade, don't you think? 1 John 1:9 reads, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of those sins, and he's going to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, all the wickedness. This verse is like the vertical beam to the cross itself. God is forgiving you because of his faithfulness to you. God will indeed forgive you regardless of your faithlessness. It's based on him. You have to confess, but this whole spiritual transaction is based on God's promises towards you. Isn't that great news? James 5:16, this verse changed my life forever. It's the half-brother of Jesus, and he writes, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. You see that? This is where healing begins. The prayer of a righteous person has great power, and it's working. And this is like the horizontal part of the cross itself. It impacts others. This is where real life begins to happen, because you're not just forgiven, but now you're on the way to healing. You're on the way to freedom. With these two scriptures, we're learning to love God and to love others. With these two scriptures, we're learning how to trust God and how to trust others. Well, we're going to continue that conversation with Alan and Polly Heller tomorrow, and we're going to continue our discussion on the five R's on learning how to trust again. Lastly, I'm excited to share with you that my new book is now available for pre-order through Amazon.com. All you have to do is simply type the title of the book. It's called The Sex Spiral inside Amazon's search bar there, and you'll be able to pre-order that. Also, there's an audio workbook series that's available at the website as well. That's DustinDaniels.org, and just click on store. Thank you so much for listening to God, Sex, and You. You can follow me on Twitter and Facebook at Purity Pastor, and you can email those questions to me on the website at DustinDaniels.org. Jesus says that the pure in heart will see God. Oh my goodness, think about that. Walk worthy today, my friend, as you cling to Jesus. I love you, and I look forward to our time again tomorrow.